Now, Governor Tony Evers announced yesterday that he will include reforms to Wisconsin's marijuana laws in his upcoming budget. Currently, cannabis is illegal at the state level. Some cities, though, including Madison, Appleton, and Eau Claire, have decriminalized the drug, and fines are different from place to place. The proposals floated by Evers would change how the state handles medical marijuana and possession of small amounts of pot by individuals. Laurel White is state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Laurel, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much, Rob.
Well, I gave the basics there, Laurel. Talk a little more about what the governor is talking about here.
So this is a kind of a package of marijuana proposals that he's going to roll out in full during his state budget address later this month. You kind of hit the highlights there. I mean, it primarily means the legalization of medical marijuana in Wisconsin, which, as folks are probably familiar, means you can have marijuana in your possession as long as you have a doctor's note. Marijuana has been used to treat illnesses including seizure disorders, things like post-traumatic stress disorder or other anxiety disorders, things like chronic pain. So individuals would be able to get a prescription for those things if their doctor deemed it would be helpful to them. There would also be some changes to how much marijuana you could have in your possession. If you have 25 grams of marijuana or less, even without that doctor's note, that would be legal. And the governor's also proposing introducing some new expungement procedures for people who have marijuana possession crimes on their criminal record. So they'd be able to enter a process of getting those taken off their criminal record if they've met certain criteria and have served out their full sentence or their probation.
Let's give a listen to Governor Evers talking about the medical marijuana side of things in particular. Here's a bit of what he had to say.
I believe, and I know the people of Wisconsin overwhelmingly believe, that people shouldn't be treated like criminals for accessing medicine that can change or maybe even save their lives.
So the governor believes that, and he says many people do. How about state lawmakers? What are we hearing, Laurel, especially from Republicans in control of both chambers on these issues?
Obviously, the governor would need buy-in from both chambers of the state legislature to get this to his desk so he could sign it and it would become law in Wisconsin. It's not looking incredibly promising at this point for the entire package, I think it's safe to say. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who's the head of the state assembly, has indicated that he's open to medical marijuana in the past. But in a statement yesterday, he said that the governor's proposals went just a little bit too far and that they, you know, they included some of those other things that I outlined. He said, this is Speaker Voss's statement. He said, "I'm open to medical marijuana when it's prescribed by a doctor, but it has to be done in a targeted way without allowing recreational use." So he is on board with that element of the plan. So that is something that could be potentially approved by the state assembly. But it seems like Voss is a little bit lukewarm on the other proposals. Now, on the other side of the Capitol, the state Senate, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald has said in the past, fairly recently, I believe as recently as December, that he just doesn't see a medical marijuana proposal passing the state Senate at all. So we haven't checked in with him. We haven't gotten any new input from him in terms of shifting positions over the past couple months. But I think it would have to be a pretty large shift in a short amount of time for the prospects there to look sunny at all.
And Laurel, as we wrap up, if we can be procedure nerds for a minute, why budget and not separate legislation? Why include this in this massive budget bill?
Well, you know, that's just a decision that the governor made. I think, you know, he's including quite a few proposals in the state budget. We've seen things for rural dental care and drinking water quality in Wisconsin. This is just a way for the governor to outline his priorities, things that he believes are important for the state of Wisconsin, to get them out there and part of the debate, which is really, you know, the marquee debate that lawmakers and the governor have every 2 years. So he's put this on the table as a big priority for him. It's a real statement.
Laurel, thanks a lot for joining us.
Sure thing. Thanks, Rob.
That's Laurel White, state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, with us to talk about new marijuana reforms proposed by Governor Evers yesterday. Now we take a look at those proposed reforms compared to what's going on in the rest of the country. John Hudak is deputy director of the Center for Effective Public Management and senior fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution. He's the author of Marijuana, A Short History. John, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, based on what we just heard from Laurel there, how do these proposed reforms from our governor in Wisconsin compare to what the trends are in the rest of the country?
You know, I think it's important first to note that we don't have all of the details of the governor's plan, and to compare them to compare it to other states, we really need to wait and see exactly what the governor has in mind and obviously what legislative leaders would do in a negotiated process as legislation moves through. But it sounds like Governor Evers is looking to join 32 other states in this country, which have set up regulated, controlled medical cannabis programs to help sick patients get access to that substance in ways that doctors believe will help them.
What have we seen change in states? Let's focus on medical marijuana, first of all. Since California legalized medical marijuana, other states followed suit. What have we seen in those states? What kind of changes has that resulted in?
You know, we've seen states taking this step in terms of policy reform in a variety of ways. Like you said, California was the first state to pass a referendum on medical cannabis back in 1996, and as I said, 31 other states have followed suit either through referenda or through the state legislature performing their duty to pass laws. Now, states vary pretty dramatically in terms of what these systems look like, particularly with regard to who has access to medical cannabis. Some states have more loose systems, that is, there is a wide variety of conditions which would qualify you for participation in the program, or conditions that could be sort of expanded to include a large group of people. Other states have very narrow systems, and those restrictive systems naturally limit the number of people who can participate and thus the number of people who have access to the product.
And where are we in the country when it comes to non-medicinal marijuana? How many states now have legal recreational marijuana?
So we have 10 states and the District of Columbia that have legalized recreational use, or what's often called adult use. That is, if you're over the age of 21 and you want to purchase it, you can go to a storefront and purchase it. The one exception is Vermont, which legalized by legislature last year, and that system does not have a commercial market. Instead, you're able to grow at home a certain capped number of plants and then use that for your own purposes or gift it to others who are also over the age of 21.
Let's talk about public opinion and politics on this, John, because it seems like it wasn't that long ago where it would have been political career suicide, in effect, to support any kind of legalization of marijuana, and now we've seen this rapid trend. What happened? What changed?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's been this rapid change in public opinion around cannabis policy generally. Right now, about 90% of Americans support medical cannabis legalization, and around two-thirds of Americans support adult use or recreational legalization. That's a stark change. When you look back to even the early 1990s, you saw levels of support for this around 17 or 18% nationally. So a couple of things have happened. First, the people in our society who are the least supportive of legalization are also the oldest people in our society. The people who are most supportive of it are the youngest people. And so as sort of, you know, life cycles happen, older people die out, younger people enter the electorate, and there's been this replacement of people who have, you know, support for legalization in the 30% range being replaced by people who support legalization in the 80% range. And that can lead to some pretty dramatic changes in public opinion. But the second force in this, and I think it's an equally important one, is that as states participate in this broad policy experiment, a lot of people are looking around and saying, the sky isn't falling in these states. While there are problems, the challenges or the risks that some people who oppose cannabis legalization put out there haven't come to fruition. A lot of people in these states do not regret the choices that are made, either by state voters or by state legislators, to change the law. And I think that is loosening up people's opinion on this and pushing them in a more pro-reform direction.
We're talking to John Hudak right now. He's a senior fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution and the author of Marijuana, A Short History. He's with us to talk about how Governor Evers' proposed marijuana law changes, details still out there, how they stack up against those in other states. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want Wisconsin to legalize marijuana for medicinal use, for recreational use, or do you not want to see one or both of those changes? Or do you have a question for our guest about what's been going on in other states that have, in one way or another, legalized or partially legalized marijuana? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about marijuana legalization or decriminalization in the United States. Wisconsin's laws would change under reforms expected to be proposed by Governor Evers in his state budget proposal. John Hudak is with us, senior fellow in governance studies at the Brookings Institution. He's studied how marijuana laws have shifted around the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Legalize or not, medical marijuana or not, what do you think? What questions you have for our guest about how this has worked in other states? Call 800-642-1234. To your calls now, Elizabeth is with us in Fish Creek. Elizabeth, hello.
Hello. Thank you for your book. And I have two things, and I'm going to talk fast. I've been in cannabis as a formulator for companies in other states for quite a while, and I have a company that makes hemp products. I'm now able to do that in Wisconsin. Love it. I spend a lot of my day researching and trying to keep up with what's happening in the regulatory environment federally and in my state and in other states in both marijuana and hemp. So I'm up on this. And I have some really huge concerns about our state, as much as I'm looking forward to progress here. We have predatorial investors who are, you know, always eyeing every state that's moving into legalization. And Colorado, I think, is a place. If I'm going to pick a spot that has predators, I'm going to pick Colorado. I'm also going to say that each state has very specific regulations, and I think that Washington State has the model that seems best to me. You might have other ideas, but in terms of protecting the state from these economic predators. So that means keeping ownership with residents, and it means keeping investing with residents, and that means keeping the money that is earned in the state. I think that's really important.
Elizabeth, I'm going to jump in and bring John in on this. She's worried, okay, when states legalize, who ends up making the money off of marijuana products?
Yeah, Elizabeth brings up an important point that states need to address when they're considering either a law or the regulations that come subsequent to a law's passage, and that involves who is able to own businesses related to cannabis, who's able to invest in cannabis businesses and cannabis-related businesses in a state once they take that step toward reform. And some states have put more significant restrictions on ownership and investment, while others have really taken a free market approach. And in those cases, a reality comes to the forefront, and that is that cannabis becomes an economic opportunity for people who are willing to invest in that space. And work in that space. And so, yeah, the state has a lot to think about in terms of moving forward with reform first, if the state wants to move forward, and then what the real details are. I think a lot of voters think of cannabis as just a yes or no proposition, but the reality is that the structure of that system and the regulations around that system are extraordinarily complex public policy that some states do well handling and other states have struggles with it.
And Elizabeth mentioned one more phrase that I think is important to bring up, federal regulation. Marijuana is still Schedule I illegal at the federal level, right? How are states dealing with that?
So you're right. It is a Schedule I substance, which means that it is illegal in all circumstances in the United States. What has happened at the federal level is that the feds have taken a really hands-off approach with regard to enforcement. And more to the point, actually, Congress has taken that step and has restricted the Department of Justice from using any money to enforce against states that have reformed their medical cannabis laws, not recreational, but medical cannabis laws, and have set up a regulatory program to administer them. And so in that sense, there is a protection in place that states, for states that want to take a step in this direction, even though it still remains federally illegal.
Let's go back to our callers. Thanks, Elizabeth, for calling in. We'll go now to Mike in Madison. Mike, hello.
Good afternoon. I have been a public speaker on the Pro-Marijuana Initiative for about 35 years. I've lived in many of the states that are legal now, and I live in Wisconsin currently. And I know that if our politicians were to put this to a popular vote, a statewide referendum, it would more than likely get passed. Of course, that's why they have not allowed it to ever reach that point. But I'm wondering why Wisconsin loves to be last in everything politics here in the new millennia.
Mike, thanks for the call. We don't have a referendum process here, a binding referendum process, John, except for constitutional amendments. But Mike saying Wisconsin is slow on this, and hearing from some state legislators, even though the governor proposes this, this may still not happen. What leads some states to be like Wisconsin and not jump on the bandwagon here?
You know, there's a variety of reasons why states are slow to this game. When you look at states that have legalized for medical or for recreational purposes, there are states that you might consider obvious choices. They're very liberal, or they have a history of sort of cultural, looseness, let's say, with regard to things that are considered taboo in other parts of the country. But there are other states that would surprise you that have moved forward. And I think there is a cultural worry about what this would mean and what the future would hold in a state that has taken hold in some places and really not been an issue in others. It is true that in states that do not have a referendum process, they tend to be a little slower to reforming cannabis laws. Because Mike's right, if this was put to a vote in Wisconsin, I have very little doubt that as long as it was a reasonable proposal, that it would pass. Like I said earlier, 90% of Americans support medical cannabis reform. And I think one of the challenges that exists with states that are effectively required to use the legislative route is that not enough people are letting their politicians know how they feel about this issue. And if that happens, I think you can see some minds change. But if people remain silent on the issue of cannabis, or frankly any public policy issue, then politicians won't feel that there's any obligation to do what the public wants, and they can rely on what they believe is right instead.
Mike, thanks for that call. We're talking to John Hudak with the Brookings Institution, author of Marijuana, A Short History, looking at the possibility of changes to Wisconsin's marijuana laws expected to be proposed by Governor Evers in his state budget. Back to your calls now. Brad is with us in Saukville. Brad, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Brad?
Okay, so, you know, my mother has stage 4 breast and bone cancer, so obviously comes medication with that. And I'm an advocate for the legalization of marijuana, both medical and recreational. I mean, truth is, I have to help my mom. Her bills are probably about like $1,600 a month in cancer medications alone that come with a, you know, 3-page list of 500, you know, side effects. I haven't seen one side effect of marijuana other than, you know, to go along with the stereotype of munchies. But then, really, my main question is, where does the hypocrisy start or stop? You know, like when John Boehner was House Speaker, he was completely against marijuana. But sure as hell, the minute he gets out, now he's on the board of Acreage Holdings, which is a company that actually grows and prepares everything for 11 different states. So I guess my question is, where does the hypocrisy stop on this? I mean, obviously, like Elizabeth said, is who's making money? And I see it's basically Republicans preventing these things from going legal until they can get into the position to where they can make a lot of money off it.
Brad, thanks for the call. Best to your mom. Sorry to hear about her stage 4 breast cancer. John, can you talk about that? Brad is following the money with people like John Boehner.
Yeah, Brad brings up another really good point, and that is that there are politicians, there are other individuals who have been openly opposed to reforms in cannabis, and then as soon as a different opportunity pops up, they jump in and they're investing or they're working in the industry. And, you know, from my perspective at least, you can have respect for someone who really sticks to their principles. Even if you disagree with those principles and you say, you know, this is a person with concerns about a certain area of public policy, and we disagree, but, you know, we can agree to disagree. I think it is difficult in the American system right now with the lack of trust that we have in governing institutions and a lack of trust that a lot of times we have in individuals in elected office to see people do the types of things that Speaker Boehner has done and others have done to, you know, block people from having the kinds of reforms that they want, but then making money off that same system later on. And I think it speaks broadly beyond cannabis, and I think it speaks to some of the bigger issues that we have in our democracy right now.
We'll leave it there for now. John, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
John Hudak is Deputy Director of the Center for Effective Public Management at the Brookings Institution. He's the author of Marijuana, A Short History. He joined us to talk about marijuana reform efforts in Wisconsin and around the country.